actually it's a fascinating and wonderful
psalm. As Brother Alfred was kind of just said, the first few words, the first verse of the psalm unfold this great mystery that is before us. Is it correct that this is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament?
Yes.
It is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament, not only to establish the deity and the lordship of the Lord Jesus, but also to establish his priesthood in the second part of the psalm. It's called in the book of Hebrews. But it is here is this fascinating thing. Number one, you realize that there is a communion, there is a conversation going on in eternity, in the Godhead. You see that in Psalm 2, you see that in Psalm 110, you see it in Hebrews 11. There is, God is a living God. It's not an absolute one person that's sitting somewhere. No, there is life and there is communication going on in the Godhead. And here it is that Jehovah speaking to that Adon. I don't know what it is, because it's not really Adonai, it's not Adon, but it is that singular deity, and telling him to sit down at my right hand. Now, the Lord Jesus, as Brother Alfred was quoting, I think this very verse is quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in the book of Acts. And there, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodian in Matthew 22 especially, came to the Lord Jesus and trying to questioning him about everything. And never a man spoke like that man. Every question that they have come up with, the Lord them gives them an answer that they just couldn't, they didn't know what to do anymore. They were dumbfounded because of the brilliant and the ability of the Son of God to kind of stop all their mouth. But now he turned around and he asked them that question. Now, you Pharisees who know the law backwards and forwards, is the Messiah, whose son is he? Okay, very simple answer. Oh, he's the son of David. Well, explain to me that verse then. The Lord said unto my Lord. Now, how could be of David saying that? How, if David is the grandfather should have the prestige, should have the honor. A grandfather or a father should not call his son my Lord, my sovereign. It's the honor and the prestige goes to the elder. It doesn't go to the younger. So how could he say, the Lord said unto my Lord? And I could think of those Pharisees at that day. They just like didn't know what to do with themselves and walked away. Because he was showing to them that the Messiah is not only the son of David according to the flesh, but he is also the Lord of David.
The Lord who is high and lifted up and sovereign, we have him revealed and manifested and announced as man, and now we have him coming out in display. He is going to show his power in that day. It says, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. What we really see developing is the Lord enthroned, awaiting a day when he's going to be put forward in display, and everyone will recognize what is been true from all eternity. Everyone who is in abject rebellion will now be confronted with the reality of this one, this same Jesus, who was humiliated and despised and rejected, this same Jesus. It in display, he is going to display his power. And the display is in two parts. It's in judgment, in which he judges the nations and puts down all rule and authority. And then it's in gracious benevolence in the thousand-year reign. And so it's something that Paul says, there's a reward for those who love his appearing, who look forward and anticipate that day when what we hold in our hearts to be real and true he is Lord, will be universally held.
Mm-hmm. What's also a thought that spoke to me is the fact that he is going to be doing this over this same earth, the same place that has rejected him. And it's a marvelous thought that this very planet, is, he's been reigning over it.
And again, the beauty of it in verse 3 that we are talking about, it's a willing people. Having recognized the greatness of his person and his sovereign power and right, it said in verse 3 that thy willing people, they are people who are willingly offering themselves as a willing offering. As a heart that's drawn to the greatness and the beauty of the Lord. They are drawn to that, and they are not by force at all or through the force of his love. They are really willingly bowing the knee to him. They are willingly offering themselves up to him. It's the impact. You see, it's not a theoretical thing to own Jesus as Lord. It must have impact on our life. It must change our life. And the willing people here are willing. And they display beauty in holiness. Now, the world have its own idea of beauty. And it's usually very, very ugly. And very filthy and very cheap. But here, there is beauty in holiness. Holiness is not ugly or bad. Holiness is a beautiful thing. And it is a display of those who voluntarily accept Jesus as Lord and bow the knee to him. They will display that in their life. Even their beauty will be in connection with holiness, and it will be displayed to people around them.
One more thought in this connection, the matter of a response. If we see the greatness of his person presented to us, it demands a response. Mm-hmm. The Lord did not get that response in connection with his first coming. We have seen that. But he gets this response now, during the time of his rejection. He will get this response from the future remnant. He will get this response in the world to come. And it is beautiful to see how that goes together with God's sovereignty. We were earlier talking about God's sovereignty. Well, what about the dew of the morning? From the womb of the morning shall come to thee the dew of thy youth. There is this wonderful reality. A response is given from willing hearts. At the same time, it is God who prepares this in his sovereignty. And beloved, I really like to see that through all through Scripture, how God's sovereignty goes together with a response from man's side. And that response will be given here publicly, of course, in the millennium. But that response we may give now already. We saw that earlier this morning also a little bit in another passage. But this is what the Lord is looking for. He looks for a response, even from a people that's now living on this world that cast him out. He has a response from us today. We are this willing people today. In the days when the Antichrist will make himself great, as we saw this morning, the Lord will have a response from this tiny remnant. They will be willing. And he will use them then to usher in his public rule in the world to come. It's marvelous how the Lord is going to use that response and bring in his public reign.